All right, class, let's go ahead and get started. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. It's a couple things we're going to touch on in this class, and I believe that they'll be good for your searching of the scripture. I think it'll be good for your participation in the scripture. And, it'll just be all around good for who we are. The message is the same. I just found out how simple it is with God and with the Father. He showed us simplicity through Jesus. But there is, and I can't, this will be a resounding thing probably for, I know for the rest of my life or the rest of time that I have to teach. In any capacity, this will be the resounding message that I believe is the key to all. We've learned a lot of different things about church and about studying the scripture and about revelation knowledge and about what part we play in the church and how do we hear more from God, how do we receive more from the Lord, how do we participate. And we've heard so many different things, so many messages. I've heard messages and messages for years. But this one, and not to discount any other message, but this subject matter or this particular thing that I'm saying is one that's eluded popular opinion. It gets honorable mention, and you know the scriptures are visited a little bit and focused on a little bit, but for the most part, there's always something else in the text that overrides this small hidden thing that's in there every time. Now, when I say what it is, it's not a small task at all. It's actually a large task for us in this mainstream society because of how we've been trained and taught and what we value and what we put our value on. There's so many times, I never forget, I watched this Indiana Jones movie years ago. Some of y'all may know, I don't know which one it was, but I remember they were looking for the Fountain of Youth. And so this is a long movie, and the movie's good. So they finally get to this cave where it's full of trinkets and jewels and chalices, the big glass with the diamonds and rubies all over it. And I mean, just stuff everywhere. And they finally get there, and the Fountain of Youth is sitting right there in between. And so the instructions for the treasure, everything, the rumor was you had to get one of those chalices, one of those, you pick the chalice, you pick the right cup, and scoop it in the Fountain of Youth. You drank it, of course, you benefit from the Fountain of Youth. I mean, in other words, they'd be immortal or different things of that nature. So that's what everybody's looking for, the Fountain of Youth. So Indiana Jones, a bunch of other guys run in there, and they go in there, and so they find it there. So I want to go first. So one lady go, the guy go. So they go grab the cup that they think is the one that's gonna grab the most majestic one, the one that has the most adornment and most decoration, the big cup with the glass, the diamonds, and the rubies, pick it up, and they scoop in the water. Says, this got to be it right here. This got to be the cup, and scoop it. And when they scooped it, because of the wrong cup, they dried up. I mean, on the graphics on the movie, if you ever seen them, they dried them. I'm talking about to bones. I'm talking about it dried them up to skeleton, to the bone, almost like their body dehydrated and almost came to powder. So everybody's looking. So Indiana Jones watches to pay attention, and then he says, then he finds, you know, one of the ugliest cups in the room. I mean, it doesn't have any diamonds on it. I mean, it's a cup, but it looks a little raggedy. It doesn't have no diamonds, no rubies, no shining colors on it, not gold or none of that. And he took it, and that was the cup that worked for the Fountain of Youth. And sometimes, amongst all the things that we see and all the reasons that we say that we do things, there's something hidden right there that is the key to everything that you thought you've been trying to get. Everything you've been thought you've been trying to do, every position you've been trying to hold, every revelation from God that you've been trying to get is hidden right there in that small position. Jesus mastered this, I'm about to say, and this is why he knew all things. This is why there were no revelations hidden from him because of this very thing. There was no power withheld from him because of this very thing. There was no position withheld from him because of this very thing, because he wasn't seeking a position. Those of you who signed up for school to be a preacher or to be a reverend, or you think that you're supposed to minister the word of God to people, different things of that nature, We should approach with a more humble. Who told you that you had what it takes to preach to somebody else or to teach somebody else? And then teach them what? Are you going to teach them what you've heard somebody else say? The Lord gave me a word the other day, and it was through a dream, and I can't go through the dream, but there was a guy that was following an apostle, but he wasn't really a follower. He was trying to follow to hear what he was saying so he can go say it, or follow to hear what he's saying so he can go be a preacher too. And I heard the guy preaching, and I went, and I was in the restroom, and then the water in the restroom changed. I'm just sitting there, the water was clear, and then it changed to messy right before my eyes, and I heard, "The mess is already in the water, don't add to it." I said, "Whoa, what you saying?" He said, "The mess is already in the water, don't add to it." In other words, there's already too much mess in the atmosphere, in the water already, with everybody's preaching all these different things, saying all these different things. He said, "Don't you add to it with your self-righteousness or your foolishness or what you're just trying to repeat or be a parakeet to what you heard. No, I need you to actually be a minister of God." Minister means to pass. I mean, somebody's passing God out. But there's only one position that you can get this in and flow with this in, and this is in a humble, a position of humility, a position of meekness, a position of lowness. Now, once again, let me kill the fallacies, the church fallacies, and the humility, meekness, lowliness of heart, like Jesus would say, is not being timid, or it's not in the volume that you speak. It's not in those things. It's not in your demeanor. There's people try to get down. It's false humility, and they'd be the ones that be most puffed up. It's not in demeanor. It's not in your posture. It's not in these different things. It is the posture of humility is one of the heart. It's one that can't be faked. Humility means, I totally depend on God no matter what. I don't depend on myself. I don't depend on my education. I don't depend on what I think I'm gifted at. I don't think what I th I don't depend on what I think I'm called to, but I've depended totally on God and His plan. And I don't proclaim or try to make a reputation for myself. I love Philippians 2:5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation." Then it says, "Humbled himself as a servant, and became obedient to death, even to death of the cross." Therefore, he's been given a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue. We'll see that in the scripture right here in Ephesians 4 in a second. There is a, so, we read Ephesians 4 and we jump to verses 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and evangelists, some evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, right? And we jump there, but there's a little part, a little small part that we kind of read past real fast sometimes, and we don't understand that those names, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, are the most humble people, should be, I'll say that, should be the most humble and meek people in the bunch. And this is why they've been given the access or the instruction to be leaders of the church, or leaders of others, because they've been led. Not only because they've been led, but they are able to continually be led. In verse 1, it says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." So now Paul is saying, I want you to walk worthy. Whatever you're called to do, whatever vocation that you've been called to do, I want you to walk worthy of that. I beseech you. I want you to walk worthy of what you're here to do, who you're supposed to be. I want you to walk worthy of this. Watch this. Now he shows you how to walk worthy. Verse 2, "with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." So right now he tells me the key to me being who I'm supposed to be and fully fulfilling my purpose is the first thing he says for me to do is to walk, watch this, "with all lowliness and meekness." Now he didn't, once again, I got another scripture when Jesus says, for the sake of time, I won't go read. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly. The same thing I'm saying right here. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And it's amazing all of the things he could have said. All of the combinations of words, right? Even in Paul, with all lowliness and meekness. Well, I you know what he said? Well, this is how you got to walk worthy of the vocation, what you call. You make sure you pray and you get anointed. Or you make sure that, you know what I'm saying, you know the scripture up and down, and you don't let nobody disrespect your title. Make sure they call you doctor. Make sure they call you pastor. Make sure they call you reverend. Make sure they call you sister. Make sure they call you elder. Well, I beg to differ. Because I've seen a lot of pastors and ministers and reverends and elders and whatever. They have no power at all. The only power they have is the one they're given in whatever institution they're a part of. And nothing's changing. With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond and peace. There's one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Now, all of this is humility. This humility right now, you got to understand what it's saying. It's very humble talk, because when it starts saying, you know, I know you think you all that, or you think God done called you for some special thing, you about to flip the world over. So every one of us, unto every one of us, but unto every one of us is given grace into the measure of the gift of Christ. He's trying to calm everybody down. Because if we could ever be humble as people, right, and if we can ever master humility, there's two things that will happen. Number one, all revelation will be available to us. Everything, through humility, everything is revealed. You say all at once? No, your mind couldn't take it all at once. But how is everything revealed? Through humility. Because through humility, you said, listen, not my will, but thy will be done. Now that humility gives you access to everything that God is, whatever you need, when you need it. Humility tells you, I don't need to know what's going on for the next 50 years, because I know right now I'm connected with God, and my humility makes me a channel or a conduit or a pathway to whatever God's plan is in this earth realm. My humility makes me this. And the second thing is, not only do you have access to all revelation, all the power, but then you have understanding, and I don't want to say elite, but almost a perfect flow, or you'll have a perfect flow in whatever position that you have to hold. See, the reason the body of Christ, like we like to say much time, is in shambles, because everybody wants to be in a different place. People are trying to work up the stairs of the clergy of Jesus. I'm gonna be an usher for a while, and I'm gonna be an elder, then I'm gonna be a, you know, this. And here we have, you know, life bearers, I'm gonna be a master bearer, and then one day I'm gonna be a reverend, and I'm gonna be a preacher, and one day I'm gonna start my own church. And then we have all these different things that we're trying to do, and we start to do the church like you do the corporate world. Now you're trying to be a supervisor and manager. You want to be a regional manager, all these different things, and it doesn't work that way. Every joint supplied by it starts talking about this in a minute. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, verse 9 and 10, I read it fast because it's kind of hard to read sometimes, but this begins to speak to verse 2. Now, he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. So he descended first. Before he ascended, he descended. First, this is Siki first. He descended. When you say Siki first, it's talking about humility. Look, watch this. He descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So now there's a question. He descended in the lower parts of the earth first, right? Well, same one that descended in lower parts of the earth was the one that ascended far above all heavens. Therefore, that was this far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So while we have been duped by this society society as a whole, I don't know who's the culprit, but you become the culprit when you don't realize that humility is your key to wherever you're trying to be. You put it down. Humility is the key to whoever you're trying to be, or wherever you're trying to be. Because, so now we've taken the society's mentality. We did it in the Garden of Eden. We take society's mentality of what greatness is, or what something is supposed to be, and now we work it that way. You know, and now we're earning things, and we're work for what you got, and we're, you know, I am this, I've been doing this for so long, and I've been doing this, and we miss the whole point of humility. Verse 11, now before that whole connotation of verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1 through 10, is speaking about humility, and how about you need to calm down, how about you need to calm down and understand that it's all of us joint supply, right, the humility, right? Then I had a question I wanted to ask some preachers the other day, and I said, you know, is it that you want God's will to be heard, or is it because you want to say it to everybody? It's a good question. Because sometimes we can ridicule others, or we can ridicule mediums of how other people say things because we're upset. We turn into a hater because we think we have this, it's a savior complex. And yes, God may have called you. Yes, God may have called you for a purpose, but just know that your purpose is only a part of the plan. When you're humble enough to see that I'm only a small part of the bigger picture, that's when you play your part. That's when the color fills the part of the picture that you're in. But a lot of times we get to this place to where I want to be the messenger that saves the whole world. And we have this Savior Jesus complex in a wrong connotation, because now we want to be the one that everybody has to listen to. No, that's not the point. You can't even speak everybody's language. How is everybody going to listen just to you? But because every joint supplies, the meekness and lowliness allows brothers to walk together. How can two walk together to a separate degree? It allows connection, allows every joint supply to the effectual working of the measure of every part. We're going to say this in a minute. And now before verse 1 through 10, he's going, he's humble talk, and now he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. It's maturing for the work of the ministry. That means work or passing out, and for the edifying of the body. Till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? Christ's number one attribute was his humility. I know you thought it was the miracles. I know you thought it was holy, holiness, and I know you thought it was whatever else you wanted to say. His number one attribute was his humility. Humble enough to die. And so because he's humble enough to die, God understands that this is my beloved son. He understands that if he's willing to die, I can put his name above every other name, because there's nothing more humble than to put, you could have been, because you knew who you was. I announced you when you got baptized, my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Everybody heard that. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Everybody heard that. The other time the sky opened and he said, this is my beloved son, hear you him. Everybody heard that. Jesus heard it too. But he did not let it get to his head. I want a lot of us, man, let the sky open on anything. And the first thing we want to do is run to church and give a testimony. You know, I was at the house the other day and the sky opened. And then, because you want somebody to pat you on the back. And you'll have your reward. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 6. And they had to go out with the big robes on. They'll have their reward. And he said, and not they'll have it. He said, and they have their reward. They want people to look at them. Want somebody to follow you. Want somebody to serve you. That's not the point. Humility. Revelation, John 5:39 says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And there was testified me, but you won't come all the way to me. He says, you search the scriptures and you begin to try to do things and be what's in there, but you don't realize that if you come all the way to me, I'll show you how easy to do it, and it's through humility. The one thing that's needful is humility, because in humility and meekness is your identity, is your understanding of who you really are. You can't see yourself because you're standing up looking at everybody else. Get down. Get down. And when we get down, we begin to have a perspective. We get back to connected to our originality and have a perspective of who we truly are. There's too much noise. They even tell you that when a house is on fire. If a house is on fire, you're trying to get out. They don't walk straight up. Get down, because all the smoke, all the stuff is rising. You stand up in that, you won't be able to breathe. Get down. They say, shoot. They tell you if you catch on fire, we learned in school, we do stop, drop, and roll. Get down. There's a power in there. Somebody starts shooting. Boop, boop, boop. Up. Get down. Like we've been standing up, or we've been trying to stand on the word. You know, you must stand on the word of God. Get down. In all thy getting, get, oh, that's powerful. In all thy getting, get what? Understanding. Oh, what is that? Break the word down. Understanding. Understanding. Get under my standing. Sounds like getting low to me. Sounds like meekness to me. In all thy getting, get understanding. Now, if you don't hear this, see what meekness does, it makes you understand dead talk. You know, people don't know what dead talk. Everybody watching TED Talks, you don't know what dead talks are. Jesus talked dead talk. When Jesus said things, it was dead talk, and they couldn't understand it because he was speaking from a place of humility. Well, Lord, why have that eternal life? First of all, you're not asking the right question about eternal life. What are you talking about? Okay, have you observed the commandments? Yes, I have. Rich young ruler. Cool. One, he said, look, the one thing y'all lack, go your way, sell what you have, give it to the poor, take it across, and come follow me. Dude, go away sad, because he thought he was about to get another deep, high revelation, because he wanted eternal life. How many of us come to God to be more humble? Most of us signed up to get our Christian starter kit and our package. And we said, we understand all the oracles of God. He searched the deep things of God. And we get the revelation. We don't understand. You can't get to the deep things without getting low. Deep is low. You can't be deep and high at the same time. And so when Jesus talks, his dad talks, he starts talking, and you can't even understand what he's saying. Even another time, he says, whom do men say that I am? Now, it starts off with men. Like, it's almost like teaching, like the church. And whom do men say? What do men say? Men have taught me about faith, and men have taught me about grace, and men have taught me about all the subjects under the sun. Praise God for that. But who say you that I am? Thou art the Christ. He said, wow. This is amazing. This got to be something different, because flesh and blood could not reveal this, but my father. And there's only one place my father reveals that is in the low. He talks to the low, right? He doesn't talk to the high. He talks to the low. He talks to those that are not depending on their own mentality or their own prestige or their own track record or their own resume. He talks to the low. And so Jesus, even when he starts talking to Peter and bound on earth, he starts telling them all these different things, the power that he had, whatever. And I don't know, in between then and a couple minutes later, Peter was like, oh yeah, see, I told you guys I knew who was the Christ. Look, he named me. He said, thou art Peter. Look, he named me. I'm going to be ahead of everything. And so Jesus begins to have dead talk with him and begins to explain to him how he's going to go and going to die, and they're going to kill him and do all these different things. This is humility. Because I thought you understood humility, so I could talk to you from a humble place. Now here's Peter, the audacity of you to think that you were high enough to be able to rebuke the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls him immediately, Satan, get behind me, Satan. Because you're trying to tempt me just like it was in the garden. You're trying to make me live off of prestige and live off of something that, be it not so unto you, Lord. Not, shut up. Stop. Get out of my face. Get behind me. Because you don't even understand what it's like to be humble. You don't even understand that my DNA, my very being, is humility. And so now humility becomes the catalyst to revelation knowledge, to anything that you're searching in the scriptures. Search the scripture, anything you have like, but they testify of me. What are you trying to say? But you won't come to me. In other words, you won't come to be like me. You won't come to it's in humble. Come to me. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. That's a humble place. And all things are yours. God will be able to use you more clearly and more profoundly when you stop trying to be used so much. When you stop trying to reach some position of prestige or position of revelation, give up, stop. Jesus didn't try to continue living. He gave his life. And he said he gave up the ghost. You don't take my life, I give it. Stop trying to scratch and claw for some kind of deep thing so now you can have a message to preach to somebody. You ever heard this before? Look, nobody cares. There's nothing new under the sun. And when we understand this and become humble, then we realize that this is the key to all revelation. This is key to all reverence. It's the key to it all. It's humility. But all meekness and lowly of heart forbearing one another. Amen. That's the end of this class. I think that Lack of humility causes lack of a search. Anytime our lack of study, anytime somebody feels like they can go on and not go deeper into something, it's because they think they got it already. Or maybe they think they don't need it. Both of those places are places of false humility, or places of high-mindedness. But I think the search in humility, the search in meekness, the search in lowliness is where you're going to find yourself. And no, I don't think, I know. This is, you'll find yourself in the dirt. You'll find yourself in the ground. You won't find yourself in the sky. You'll find yourself in the ground, in the dirt. You'll find yourself in these low places. When you begin to stop looking for what you want, take no thought. Seek first the kingdom of God. When you begin to stop looking for what you want and what you think your ideas of it is, that's when all things will open to you. You have access to all things. Amen.